I'm going to backtrack for the first time in this series to cover something that I missed. And I wasn't really planning on doing it to start with, but when I started looking up, there's so much to say, I feel as if I'd be really doing you a disservice not to include it. And that is the beautiful, impressive, complicated, and I do mean complicated, you should have a sitter in front of you, complicated, Yalev Yavor. Yalev Yavor is probably one of, I can't tell you how underappreciated, if I can do something here, right, you know, there are stories of, there was a story of a man that learned Maseches Chulin very, very well in his life. And that was his Masechta. He just learned Maseches Chulin and that was it. And then he died and no one really attended his funeral. And a lady came to town and this lady said, do you know who that was? That was a tremendous Talmud Chacham. Everyone should turn up to his Leviah. How can you not turn up to his Leviah? It's unbelievable. And she railed up the whole community that they should turn up and give this person a proper send-off, a proper Leviah. And then she disappeared. No one heard of her again. So they went to the sainted Chofetz Chaim and they said, who was that lady that came about telling everyone to go to this man's funeral? And he said, that woman was a manifestation of Maseches Chulin, of Tractate Chulin, that came to defend someone who so ardently learned her material through his lifetime and drummed up a proper send of a proper Levar for such a Talmud Chacham, even though he wasn't across Shas, he was only in one Masechta, he was in that Masechta over and over and over and over again, that he made such an important Roshim that, you know, Chulin herself, the Masechta herself, came to defend his honour. That's a story. I don't know that I can do the same for the tefillah of Yalev Yavor tonight and drum up such enthusiasm that the prayer itself is only too happy, but I'm going to give it a go. That's what I'm going to do. Okay. It is just, it's literally this grey box, which in a regular Art Scroll Siddur, you'll find a page 110. And it is a seasonal adjustment, which is added on Rosh Chodesh, on Pesach, and on Sukkos, and of course on Chol HaMoed of those days as well. But that's a different kind of Shemona Esrei. We've got a different kind of thing that we'll talk about. But yeah, that's what we're going to discuss. And there's so much to discuss. Have you got a question already? No, fine. As long as you, I rest with my hands up. That's what I do. I feel comfortable like that. That's what I do. It's K-Cat. That's great. As long as I don't mind. I'm only too happy. I thought it was a bit early though for a question. Okay. Oh, beautiful. Awesome. So look, that means now, please don't think that I'm ignoring you when you put your hand up, because I just think you're eating cake. Okay, that's fair enough. You can eat cake. Here we go. Now, on days where the Korban Musaf, which is a special sacrifice, is in addition to the regular daily sacrifices, is offered in the temple, we add in the Ya'alev Yavor prayer, which is added into Ritzei, which is just before Moedim. Okay? And we've just finished Moedim, so we're kind of backtracking one. And then what I'd like to do, Be'ezus Hashem, by the way, just giving you a bit of a heads up, is do Al HaNisim, certainly for next week, because it'd be very, very practical for next week, and Moedim D'Rabbanon. And the rabbi's Moedim, which is fascinating, right? So then we'll get all the grey boxes around Moedim done. The Yalev Yavor, Al HaNisim, and Moedim D'Rabbanon, which is only said during the repetition of the Shemona Esrei when we hear the Chazor Shatz, the cantor, say out the repetition of the Amidah prayer. Why is Yalev Yavor placed here? That's the first thing, as now we're starting to get, I want to say expert, but we're certainly starting to get very rogel, very habitual about the Shemona Esrei, how it's structured, how there's connection between the middle brachas. If you remember, they're all lined up towards each other. So there's two groups of six, as it were, that you can line up and say, this is what's going on, there's Shema Kaleinu and stuff. Everything's interrelated and reacted. Why then do we have Ritzei and then Yalev Yavor in there? That's because it's at this point that we pray for the restoration of the Kabbonis. That makes sense, very straightforward. Mm-hmm. And the special days on which we say Yalev Yavor necessitated a special kind of sacrifice. So because they required a special kind of sacrifice, and this prayer is in lieu of a special kind of sacrifice, it makes sense that where we're talking about the Kahanim doing their Avoida, we would start talking about the fact that Yalev Yavor is a certain thing. Yeah? That's pretty simple, right? Is everyone comfortable with that so far? That's not a hard one, right? That's easy to answer. Now, let's think again. What do we remember? We discussed this. If you go back to the Ritzei audio, we did this when we discussed Ritzei very, very in depth when we talked about Avoida and what the concept of Avoida is. Ritzei specifically refers to an aspect of Hashem's will that the Jewish people initiate through their Avoida, through their own service, the way that they live their lives. Now, each Yontif represents a very different aspect of Avodas Hashem, so it merits a very special addition to Ritzei, because each Yontif is slightly different. I was actually giving a shiur about this morning, about how every Yontif is a dichotomy of concepts. I think it's possibly worth discussing very quickly what I mean by Yontif being a dichotomy of concepts. Yontif is different from Shabbos, even though the Torah doesn't say there's anything different between Shabbos and Yontif. What does the Torah call Yontif? Shabbos. It's delicious. What is Yontif called? Shabbos. It is, but it's called Shabbos. According to God, in the Torah, everything's a Sabbath. Yet Chazal came and said, no, we can't call a Yontif Shabbos, because Shabbos is Shabbos and Yontif is Yontif. Well, why? God didn't do that. It's like this. The Derech Hashem explains in section 4, where he talks about Shabbos and Yontif, that Shabbos is like a pulsing of sanctity that infuses the weekday with a certain level of infusion, like an injection of Kedusha, which keeps you going for the next 6 days. And if he wouldn't do that, you'd fall off the cliff, as it were, into physicality and lose sight of what those 6 days are really for. Yontif is a completely different experience. Yontif is an anniversary of a particular light or rotson of Hashem, a will of Hashem, that came into the world at a particular time. And if you choose to grasp onto the concept associated with that Yontif, you can gain from it. That's not like Shabbos. Shabbos affects you whether you like it or not, because it affects all creation. But if you don't keep Yontif, it doesn't affect you. Only if you plug into Yontif does it affect you. If you don't have a Seder, and you don't eat matzahs, and you don't have Mara, and you don't do a Haggadah, don't you think that you're going to feel all the benefits of Pesach? You don't clean, you don't do anything, you just poshut, carry on like a regular weekday in Cheshvan. You are not going to gain the benefits of Pesach.
But no negative will happen to you.
Sure, the soul will be cut off from Israel if you know what you're doing. Yeah, because if you don't eat matzah, it's the same as not mulling yourself. Okay. Right, matzah and mila are connected. Obviously, this is only in the case of people that know what they're doing and decide to ignore it. I'm not talking about people that are grown up in an environment that don't know what's going on. Let's just quickly talk about Yontif very, very quickly to understand why Yana V'Yovah is so important. I can't tell you how important this is. This is worth turning up tonight. I know that you're all taking out time, and I really rate that. It's an amazing thing. It's late at night. I always look for things to say, what's it worth these people turning up for late at night? This is worth it. Listen with all your hearts, with all your souls, and with all your might, and let this change your life forever. I do say this, but not quite as emphatically as this. Every Yontif presents a dichotomy of a set of concepts which are diametrically opposed to each other, which you are bidden to merge together.
Again, please.
You'll have to rewind the audio. This time, please can you tell us in English? Yeah, it's like this. When Yontif comes along, there's two ideas that don't fit and you've got to fit them together. There we go. So there we go. Now, let's do this. I'm sure there's many people on the audio. I'm sure there's many people on the audio saying, I'm so glad he asked him to do that. Because I didn't get it the first time either. Did you, Trudy? No.
I should get a name for that.
Yeah, okay. It was Daniel. There's a thank you. There'll be people typing in, dear Dan, thank you so much. Let's look at Pesach for one moment. Pesach, we say Yana V'Yava on Pesach. What's Pesach? Pesach is the time of freedom and the time of slavery. The matzah is considered slave food. It's unpleasant, high energy, stomach filling crackers that you fill up the bellies of worker slaves to go and build your cities while you go eat the yummy stuff like caviar and brioche at your lovely dining parties, which are staffed by these slaves. And when you crunch the matzah, you're meant to realize this is the halach ma'anya. This is the bread of affliction. Yes, indeed it is. It's also the bread of freedom. It's also the bread of freedom, and we are free, and we eat this bread of slavery while leaning like free men, like Romans, who are completely free. Look how I could drop the grapes into my mouth, how free I am. But why are you eating slave food in such a free style? The That's because the concept of freedom and the concept of slavery must be understood, felt, and even tasted with every bite of the matzah. It's not two separate ideas. It's one thought. You are free to become a slave to Hashem, should you so choose to. And if you don't, you are free to become a slave of whatever dogma is around in your days, be it Pharaoh or Trump or whoever it is. You're free to do what you want, but a slave you will be, but you're free to choose. Now, freedom is diametrically opposed to slavery. If I was going to make up a Yom Tov, this is what I would do. This is Mordechai's Yom Tov regime. If we're going to take a theme of freedom, I would take freedom, and I'll take something like emancipation or liberty. That sounds like a very much Oxford entrance exam question. Compare, contrast freedom and liberty. 50 marks, and you're in a room with a pencil. Right, and they see from how you're answering, you know, whether or not you're Oxford material. Compare, contrast freedom and liberty. What is the difference? You tell us. Yeah. No. Here's where you compare, contrast freedom and slavery, but you don't just compare, contrast them. Experience them simultaneously. Well, how's that possible? You've got a Haggadah. Work through it. This is the bread of affliction. This is the bread of freedom. And as you bite into it, you're going to have marrow, bitter herbs, right? It's horrible. And then throw a beautiful, lavish suda, a full feast. What is it going to be? Is it going to be merely just eating beans and leaves and horrible bitter leaves? Or am I going to have a beautiful... It's both. It's exactly the same thing. You're free to eat this. By the way, you should eat it in solemnity. You should be very calm and solemn and realise that this is a very, very holy convocation that's done as part of a religious identity. Eat, enjoy, and realise what you're doing here. That's a bit intense, isn't it? Freedom and slavery you want us to take. Something which is exactly at the opposite end of the pole. And then merge that into one idea. That's what's expected. And if you haven't done it right, you haven't had a proper Pesach. You've got to have those ideas in order to be owed to the concept of Pesach. Okay, let's put that to the shelf. Okay, just put that to the side a minute. Shavuos. Shavuos is an interesting concept. What's Shavuos? Shavuos is a celebration of being bequeathed the ultimate honor there is. You will be given the law itself. And the law will not be in heaven, it will be on earth. And if there's a doubt in the law, and the rabbis adjudicate one way, and God adjudicates another, he will have to concur with the humans. Torah Bashamayim here now. If we say Yom Kippur is the wrong day, and we organise that, God will jolly well just adjust his luach and meet us on the day that we say Yom Kippur. Obviously, we're duty-bound to try to make it the best day possible, but he is the one that does the whole thing, Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Yehuda. They got it wrong, right? And there was an argument who got which day it is. At the end, the Rambam says, I know you're right, Rabbi Yehuda, but I'm the Nasi. You have to just meet with me. God will have to organize his account to fit with me because I'm in charge. Psst, that is the ultimate. You don't get that with any other aliens anywhere else in the universe. The angels can't do that. The Kaichos can't do that. No one else can do it. Only we have such an honor. Yeah. Do you know what that comes with? On Saturday... If you write two letters on a wall, we crush your lungs with a large rock and you drown in your own blood. Sorry, did I mention that? What? Yes, no, it's fine on Tuesdays. Go ahead, you can write letters on the wall. It's absolutely fine. But on Saturday, we take a large brick, put it on the ribcage. It cracks the ribcage and they pierce your lungs and you drown in your own blood. You asphyxiate in your own blood. Why? Well, that's the Torah, isn't it? Skila for Shabbos. You can't break Shabbos. Hold on. You bequeathed with me the greatest honour and then gave me the most ridiculously intense responsibility as to my behaviour during the week, which seems like illogical. Yeah, that's a deal. So Shavuos is a celebration of receiving the ultimate honour and taking on the most intense responsibility. Oh, and by the way, how you behave will be how people judge God in the world. And if you don't behave well, it's called a Chilul Hashem, which our death can't atone for either. But at least you're the ambassadors for God in the world, right? That's Shavuos. So you've got the idea of a total dichotomy, the ultimate honour and the ultimate responsibility. That's Shavuos. So much so, you should stay up all night doing it. You mean business, you show me you mean business. If this means something to you, if this honour of being called Sir, Lords, the Knight of the round table of whatever it's going to be, such an honour, then you better show me business and not go to bed and prove to me that this really means something to you. Sit and learn it all night. Don't go to bed. If you want the honour, you have to stay up for the ceremony. Sukkos. This is absolutely phenomenal. You'll love this one. Sukkos is, if Pesach was where God courted the Jewish people and proved his power to be a wonderful husband to us, and Shavuos was the wedding where we had the canopy made of cloud, the kesubah made of the Torah, the kesef kedushin, the money for the kedushin made of the luchas, made of the two bits of sapphire that Moshe Rabbeinu came down with, had full marital honours, then Sukkos is shacking up with God. We're on honeymoon. The most beautiful time of the year where you step inside the wings of the Shekhinah, the only mitzvah you step inside and can live inside, and you join him in his matrimonial home of the ultimate joy possible, which is the festival of Sukkos. We even wave a victory wand during that time to show our unimaginable closeness after the whole period of judgment. It's literally, the sukkah is designed, it's like, you know, the famous concept of the groin, it's like an arm. So that's the concept of the letter chof. It's like an arm coming in, and there's that little gap, that's the hay, because a sukkah can also be the letter hay, as it were, with the gap. He's literally holding you like this over Sukkos. You are in absolute honeymoon mode with Hashem in Sukkos. Such a special yontif. Yeah, it's like this. The reason is, in Yom Kippur, you may have had a judgment on you which has the most severe punishment of exile. And exile is rough, but it atones for a lot. Don't worry, you've got to exile yourself outside your house. You can't even live in your own home. And that fulfills the concept of exile. So if any punishment is sitting on your head, we can say, don't worry, he's in exile right now. And therefore, you can get away with what it is because, frankly, you've already been punished for it. So hold on. What's going on here? It's a concept of the ultimate, the honeymoon with God versus exile. Could you get any worse for a honeymoon than an exile? Where are you going on honeymoon? We're running away to Turkmenistan to avoid the CIA drones. We've got to go into hiding. Honeymoon, exile. Shavuos, intense honour, intense responsibility. Pesach, freedom. Slavery. It doesn't end there. What's Hanukkah? That is a tremendous revelation of open miracles versus a war on assimilation. Those two things don't fit either, but that's what it's about. What's Purim? Purim is a bursting forth of an outcome of physical joy. All the mems, right? Mishte, Matanas Le'ev Yonim, Megillah, and Mishloch Monas. All physical things. We go around having the best time of our lives to celebrate the potential annihilation of every man, woman, and child of the Jewish people in a global holocaust. And what do you do on that day? Bounce around in drunken happiness. Are you guys mad? Have you missed the point? Don't you realise the threat you were under? They were going to slaughter you in the street. And you go round delivering baskets of food to your... Have you lost your marbles? That doesn't fit. Tisha B'Av. The most intense mourning that exists. And yet there's no Tachnun. Because it's the time of redemption. The Messiah's born on that day. It's going to be the greatest joy. It'll be the biggest yontif. What's Yom Kippur? When you're standing there, clapping al chait, admitting that you are, it says you're a pervert. You're a pervert, a thief, a betrayer, and a slanderer. You say that out loud, and you have the highest level of closeness with the Kodesh Baruch Hu than you do the whole year. That's where you turn into a little angel. That's where you're a malach. What do you think malachim will be doing? How do you think they're behaving? How's they behaving? We are perverted slanderers. We are thieves. We have betrayed you. We've been led astray. La 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 la. That's how the little angel gets so close to Hashem. You guys have got it all wrong. You can't get the themes right. Did you hear this? Here's how it works. Yom Tov are moments of the year where God is teaching you to blend diametrically opposed concepts such as freedom and slavery into one feeling and one experience. When you crunch that matzah, you are blending freedom and slavery. Okay? I did it this year. Shavuos, I accept the responsibility and I gain the honour. Sukkos, I'm in honeymoon. I'm in exile. Rosh Hashanah, we didn't talk about that. Coronate me as your king. Be my special envoys and crown me as your monarch. And I'm going to judge you for life and death. And every year, everyone's going to get judged for death. Could be a capital case, couldn't it? But you know what? Have a good time and crown me as king. If you had a capital case that you were going to tomorrow, I mean, I'm talking in Manchester Crown, and you knew that there was an outcome that possibly the judge could put one of those black handkerchiefs on his head, say you should be hung by the neck until you be dead. And that's an option that can happen here. Your barrister's told you that. You think you'd go home and throw a big party and give treats out for kids and dip apples in honey? Probably wouldn't have you. What would you eat? You have a rice cake in nerves. You probably wouldn't be able to sleep. What's going to happen tomorrow? No. Go back home. You're booked in at the local restaurant. It's going to be great. You're going to have roast beef. None of this makes sense because you're bidden to merge ideas which don't fit together. Why? Why would God be doing this to you? Over a period of years of doing this, where you train your mind to understand concepts that don't fit together, you start to see these concepts as one idea. There's no way God could turn around to you and say, what I expect of you is to say freedom and slavery, honour and responsibility, judgment and partying, Holocaust annihilation and drunken jubilation, war and assimilation versus the joy of open miracles as one of the... He can't do that because our human minds are too small to get all that idea at once. So what he does is he parcels that out piecemeal through the year so you can blend these ideas together. Why? God's one. And he sees everything from his perspective as one. And he's training you on a life path to see things the way he's seeing things. So when he reveals himself to you in Olam Haba, you can understand how he's thinking. How would you do that unless you walked through a path of getting to grips with the concept that things that you feel aren't related are really related because God's all one? What about the fact that he's Hashem and he's Elokeinu? He's strong in judgment, he's very merciful. You've got to see it as one idea. How am I going to do that? Eat matzah. Sit in a sukkah. Light a candelabrum. Stay up at night learning. Give out gifts. That's how you do it, but with kavana. Realize why this is happening. He's training your mind to fuse opposing concepts into one idea. Because his mind is all one. And what he wants is closeness with you. And he's all one. How's he going to get the better level of closeness? Do you understand what he's thinking? You understand how he thinks? You understand who he is? Because at the end of the day, it's all about God consciousness. That's it. That's what you're going to cash in on. What you get, that's the commodity.
Therefore, if you don't practice and prepare for this, you're just losing out on...
That's why you don't get Yontov. Yontov is not Shabbos. Shabbos is not two different ideas that you've got to build. Shabbos is an injection of sanctity. You've got to stop thinking about physicality because you've got to just display something about the spirit for one day, otherwise you'll lose it. Okay, that's Shabbos. Yontov is totally different. Yontov is think about the concepts of Yontov and learn about how to blend these ideas into one thing over the period of all the Yontov, all through your lives. 3 Yontov, 4 Yontov, 5 Yontov, then you do it again and again and again and again for 15, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80 years. Then suddenly you start to get it.
The advantage of getting to understand God that little bit
Right, which is why the balisader, we want to be usually the oldest person, hopefully, if he's learned. Because the likelihood is he's been through enough Pesach Sedarim where he's starting to get the themes melded together. He could give that over to you. He could say, let me tell you, I'm the connection to this previous. I've done this before. I know what we're trying to do here. That's a balisader. That's someone's going to lead you through a seder.
Is this anything to do with, could it relate to, the free will choice coming together, not as a choice, but just bringing those two ideas together?
No.
In a word.
Yeah.
There,
yeah, look, you asked. It's very interesting that when we call Yontif Yontif, have you noticed that we generally have two words for many Yontovim? Pesach is both Chag HaMatzos and Zman Chei Raseinu. So the first name, Chag HaMatzos, refers to the Yontif, the mitzvah, that is specific to Yontif, which is eating of matzah. But the second is the concept and force that's promoted by tapping into the energy related to that Yontif. That's Zman, the time of our freedom. Another aspect of Yalav Yavo is the idea that on every Yontif, through the avoider that you do of whatever particular Yontif it is, you've got special things that are expected of you, it's as if the army is being inspected by the general. Beautiful analogy. You know, they have an inspection and all the like soldiers like stand up straight and he goes, tuck in your shoes, you know, blah, 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 whatever they say, yeah. It's a very interesting idea. That means that the past, their present and their future attributes are all remembered and scrutinized. How are you doing? Let's have a quick run through. That means, you know, every single male, all of us, would have to go on a pilgrimage 3 times a year if there's a Beis HaMikdash. We can't stay here. We all have to, by law, turn up to Jerusalem and give a korban. No male can turn up empty-handed. We've all got to go there, right? That's the 3-foot festivals, because you're on foot getting it. Could you imagine the mess at the El Al check-in at Manchester? Everyone with their cows and they give it's like backing it in, you know. It's like the Jews and their festival and all the lines. We gotta go. It's a mitzvah, midoraisa. Because God wants that you're turning up for inspection. We have to turn up to the general and he inspects us. How are you doing? How's this whole blending of ideas things going on with you? How are you behaving? Now, Yalav Yava is a hint to the remembrances that we aroused before Hashem when we blew the trumpets while the sacrifices of Rosh Chodesh and Yontif were being offered. Because it says in Bamidbar, in chapter 10, verse 10, on the day of your rejoicing and on your festivals and at the beginning of your months, you shall blow the trumpets over your burnt offerings and your peace offerings, and this will be remembrance for you before God. There was a thing that when you used to give a korban, specifically Rosh Chodesh and Yontif, they would blow trumpets as they were being offered on the Mizbeach. Now, in truth, this is also required on Shabbos, and it's hinted to on the day of your rejoicing. Since Shabbos isn't mentioned explicitly in the verse, Yalav Yavo isn't recited on Shabbos, nor is Shabbos mentioned in Yalav Yavo when Rosh Chodesh Chol HaMoed do. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to go through the words of Yalav Yavo. That's what we're going to do. We're going to break it down. Has anyone here ever heard the concept that each word of Yalav Yavo is a different sphere of heaven?
No.
Okay.
Sounds interesting.
So now this is kavana you should have when you say Yalav Yavo. Everyone, it says here, the God of our forefathers, may they rise, may they come, may they reach, may they be noted, may they be favored, may they be heard, may they be considered, may they be remembered, etc. Why so many adjectives? So there's a gra. There's a gra. Rabbi Eliyahu Kramer of Vilna, the famous Vilna Gaon, says as follows. He says the 8 verbs used to describe our remembrances correspond to the Shechina, God's presence, that is in the 7 firmaments above us. That's the 7 spiritual dimensions, and then the physical earth and the heavenly worlds. So let's have a look. Alakenev alakev asainu. I've got to go for forefathers. Ya'ale. May they rise. May they rise. These things, may our prayers rise. The Gross says, this is talking about the sphere of heaven called Vilon, which literally means curtain or veil. And the dimension that initially opens the curtain to the spiritual world, it's from this firmament that Hashem renews his creation of the world in an ongoing basis. That's the sphere of heaven where Hashem re-energizes the universe. V'yavo. May they come. That's the next word. That is the firmament known as Rekia. And it's here that the counterparts of the sun and the moon and the stars are, which as we've learned in Derech Hashem, is Olam Ha'asiya Elyon, the celestial world. The celestial world is from the word V'yavo. Okay? It's also interesting that it is in this world that the yeshiva Shalmala is found, where the soul goes after death. It's often called Olam HaNeshamos, the world of souls, or sometimes Gan Eden, literally the Garden of Eden or Paradise. The use of V'yavo is because the soul is greeted with a Baruch Haba. When the soul comes into Gan Eden, the people that are there welcome the soul. And that's why the word V'yavo is, because it's true, may they come, because when people say Baruch Haba, blessed is your coming. And because of that, that's why the link, according to the Gra quoting the Zohar Kodesh, is why V'yavo is specifically talking about that firmament in Shemayim. So again, we're talking about different levels. As you're going Yaleh V'yavo, you should be thinking this is piercing the heavens. Each one of these worlds are jumping, each word is jumping an entire dimension. V'yagia, and arrive. There's a firmament called Shechakim, and it's where the Mon was ground for the Tzaddikim who bask in Hashem's presence. They exist on a special spiritual nourishment, each one receiving what benefits him according to this level. That's why the word Ve'agia means one who's arrived and receives what's beneficial. So we've done Ya'ale, Ve'avo, Ve'agia. Now we're at the word Ve'yero'eh. May there be seen. And that is a firmament of Shemaim called Ma'on. And it's from here that all blessings to Klal Yisrael come out, because as we say in Devarim, when an individual gives the Maaser Oni, when he gives his tithe to the poor in years 3 and 6 of the Shemitah cycle, he recites a specific prayer saying, look down from Ma'on Kodesh, from your holy abode called Ma'on, and bless the nation Israel. That's from the word V'yero'eh. May there be seen. Why may there be seen? Because we ask God to look down and see us from that particular firmament and give us a blessing from there. What's the next word? V'yerotzeh. And may it be the object of desire, says the Gra. This is a firmament called Zvul. For it is in that area that the archangel Michael offers the souls of the Tzaddikim, and they are accepted there with desire. Now, do you remember when we learned Ritzay, we said, V'ishe Yisrael usfilosom, ba'ahavas sikabel barotzon, and the fire offerings of Israel and their prayer accept with love and favour. We had many discussions about what these fire offerings are. One of the answers as to what these fire offerings are that Ishe doesn't mean fires, it means the men. Ishe, the men of Israel. Ishe, right? V'ishe Yisrael, literally the men of Israel. The souls of Tzaddikim who serve a Kodesh Baruch Hu and daven to him with purity are offered by the Archangel Michal, who is the Kohen Gadol upstairs, on the Mizbeach as a sacrifice for God. A good Shmona Esrei turns into an actual Korban at the hands of Michal upstairs. So what does it mean for Ishe Yisrael? It could mean fire offerings, the Ish, Aish, the Kohenet being Aish, or it could be Ishe, men, literally the men of Israel. And their prayers in love and favour may you may receive. That's what it means. It means may our tefillahs be counted amongst those that are offered by Michael. That's the word V'yerotzeh. That's the desire. May you desire my tefillah as if it's being offered by Michael in the area called Zvul. V'yishoma. And may it be heard or accepted in the firmament known as Machon. In Divrei Hayomim 2, 6:21, it says, and you'll hear from the heavens and the Machon of your abode. This is the dimension where there are stores of snow and streams and other things that punish the wicked and their cries are heard and accepted. When the wicked cry out in pain, Hashem listens to them in Gehenna and he takes them out. So what does it mean, v'yishama, you should hear? That's the area where you hear the cries of people and redeem them. Then, v'yipokeid v'yizocher, and may they be counted and remembered, that is an area called Aravos. And in this zone is found all the neshamas of Guf, a place of souls that are yet to be born into the world, who are beneath none other than the throne of glory, the Kisei HaKavod, and our remembrances reach to the very source of our neshamas, emanating from the very highest point of the Kisei HaKavod. So listen to what you're doing. When you're saying, Elokeinu v'Elokei Avoseinu, Hashem, God of our forefathers, and then you start going, Ya'aleh, V'yavov, V'yagid, you're going up. Ya'aleh, remember, is just the opening of the door of life. V'yavov, may they come, may they rise, is all the sun and the stars. Now we're going up a bit. V'yagir, and then may they turn. As we're going up and up and up, it's going up through the spheres of heaven, where it's getting more and more and more. May they arrive. That's where the mon is ground, in Yagir, right? V'yeroeh, and may they be seen in Ma'on, which is the place where all blessings come down to the earth. That's what we daven to Hashem, saying blessings from Ma'on. Then v'yerotzeh, we're going even further. That's where the archangel is offering korbanos in Shemayim. V'yishoma, may they be heard. Except that's where Kodesh Baruch Hu is pulling out all neshamas from the area of all neshamas where they're being punished. And finally, v'yipokei v'yizocher, that's where the neshamas who are as yet not even gone into a body yet are being stored right by Hashem. They're right by Hashem. So as we're going up, we're literally going all the way up to the top of Shemayim with this one tefillah. It's been crafted Kabbalistically to make what the Korban does in words. We're pushing the boundaries here. Absolutely amazing.
So what do you got repeated?
Yeah, you missed that. You've missed what the Korban does. It's like how, no, that's a brilliant point. Thank you. Let's say an individual misses Yalav Yavah. We say you've got to repeat the Shemona Esrei. Why? Because it's all about Yonta for Rosh Chodesh. It's all about this additional bit. If you miss this, you're missing the kicker. This is the special mitzvah of the day. I can't miss that. Beautiful question. I've got questions for you. Some questions arise about these eight verbs used to describe the ascent of our remembrances before Hashem and Rosh Chodesh. Here's question one. You with me, people? You with me? Since we're referring to many and varied remembrances, wouldn't it be better that the verbs should be written in the plural? Ya'alu v'ya'avu. What's this ya'aleh v'yavor? Should be ya'alu. We're doing this in plural. And we're talking about lots of different things. So write it in the plural. It doesn't make sense syntax-wise. Talk about many different things as one. There are a lot of watch in the shops. There are a lot of watches. It's not a lot of watch. There's a lot of watches. It doesn't make sense. But we're all used to saying, oh, yeah, there. That's like, what are you doing? Question two. Let's get the question straight, right? That's question one. Why don't we say it in the plural? Which usually, by the way, in the Shemona Esrei, we're very big to say things in the plural to jam us all together to say, look, we're all davening to you as one. Now we start going singular verb. That doesn't make sense. Question number two. V'yipokeid v'yizocher. May they be considered and remembered. And later we mention zichroneinu ufikdoneinu. Our remembrances and our considerations. So hold on. Why is the order reversed between the verbs and the objects? It should say pikdoneinu v'zichroneinu. We started off saying v'yipokeid. Look, have a look in there, right? We said v'yipokeid v'yizocher. Can you see that? V'yipokeid, may they be considered and may they be remembered. And then we say, what's the next two words? Zichroneinu u'fikdoneinu. Our remembrances and our considerations. No, come on. If you're going to say, may they be considered and remembered, may they say our considerations and our remembrances. Don't say, may they be considered and remembered, our remembrances and our considerations. What's going on there? Can you see that in the text? I'll do it again. V'yipokeid v'yizocher, And now it's Zichroneinu Ufigdoneinu. It's back to front. Say Ufigdoneinu Vezichroneinu. Can you see that? Pigdoneinu Vezichroneinu would be better. It would at least match the order of the syntax. Can you see that? Is everyone comfortable? Did you see that? Do you see the problem? It says v'yizoch. It says v'yipokaid. Can you see that? Can you see the word v'yipokaid? May they be considered v'yizocher, and may they be remembered. And then the next two words are zichroinenu ufikdoinenu, our remembrances and our considerations. Yeah, just say our considerations and our remembrance. May they be remembered. May they be considered. Our considerations and our remembrances. Well, if you're going remember and then consideration, say remembrance again. If you're going consideration, remembrance, at least keep it even. Why are you back to fronting the words? Is this a question even for people?
Our version's slightly different.
We always do that, don't we? It's not right for us to file them. We're really different.
Why aren't you preparing for all...
Yeah, I know. I know.
This was all your problems.
No, you still say Yale V'yavo. Yeah. Certainly you don't say Ya'alu V'yavu.
No.
But hold on, does it not mention the word V'zichronenu Fikdonenu at all? Can we, and what's next? I can't go through that. It is a slightly different text there. I'm going with the text of Ashkenaz and Sephard, not Eidus and Mizrach. But certainly the first question, even according to Eidus and Mizrach, stands very strong. Why are we not putting it in plural? Why is it singular? So it's like this. Here's an answer to both, even if you only need an answer to one. Double your money, right? I'm so funny. I want a 50% refund on this one. I only got one question answered because I only had one question. I get you. I hear that. It's a tiny. Every yontif. There's good cake. Every yontif arouses a reconsideration and a reassessment of our position as a nation and an individual. As we said, it's like an inspection. You have to turn up three times a year and a Kodesh Baruch Hu looks at you and says, where are you holding? Every man's got to turn up with a korban in hand, right? How's that represented? By the korban. The korban musaf of Rosh Chodesh and Yom Tov. There are two types of remembrances. Now listen to this really carefully. This is really, really key. Listen to this. There's zichronus. What is zichronus? How do you define zichronus? These are past deeds and occurrences. That's zichronus. Ufikdoinenu, what are considerations? That's the result and effect caused by the zichronus. Listen to me here. There's what you did. You said Lashon Hara. You said Lashon Tov. I remember you did that. That's zichronenu. That I've remembered. That's zichronus. I remember that. What's ufikdoinenu? What's the consideration? What that did in the world. Let's have a look at where that Lashon Hara went. Let's have a look at where that Lashon Tov went. I want
to... Only deals up to the present moment. It's not in the future.
Up to, from what you've done for all your years, up to where you're holding now. Okay. But the consideration of it is different from the remembrance of it. I remember you once helped an old lady across the road. Very good, Bal Chesed, right? But now that she got across the road, she got to her son's birthday in time and it made her whole family happy. That's a consideration of the outcome. That's not... This is beyond you. That's what you... The ripple effect... you have made in the world over the past year of what you've been doing. What you did is a zichronus. What you're doing is pidonus. That's different. That's a consideration, how you've affected the world. Yontif, every Rosh Chodesh and every Yontif. That's it. The Korban Musaf is telling you, why are we, how do we know? Because it says zichronenu figdoneinu. Because it says you are thinking about this at these times, we know this is happening at the Korban Musaf of that particular Yontif or Rosh Chodesh. Why? Because it says it. if you're Ashkenaz. Obviously, the Sephardim don't have to remember so much, do they? Right, if the effect only kicked in. So someone said Lashon Hara against someone 6 years ago, and now, only now, does it kick in. So the Pikdoneinu, the consideration of it, is only active at this Rosh Chodesh or this Yom Tov. That's it. So, okay, well, as long as you live for the good. It could be that the good that you did 6 years ago is only starting to reap benefits now. So after our status is reassessed and enhanced, the Kedushas of Yontif that we mention, the remembrances, and make up for all Klal Israel, past, present, and future, also includes the Avos, Yerushalayim, Mashiach, and others. Notice what we start mentioning here. And Vezichroneinu Avosenu, remember Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Vezichron Mashiach, Bein David Avdecha. Don't forget him, the Messiah, son of David. And if that's not enough, Vezichron Yushalayim Ir Kodeshecha, think about your holy city that you love so much. Vezichron, listen to this, the ultimate kicker. Vezichron Kol Amacha Beis Yisrael Lefanecha, and the remembrance of the entire people of Israel who are standing before you giving this korban, and throughout all the ages of time, every merit of every Jew that's ever lived. Wow, you're starting to lay down some heavy credentials. Talk about that. Oh, it's not Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, not good for you. What about Messiah? No, not good enough for you. What about if I lay down Jerusalem? No, not good enough for you. What about every single Jew and all their mitzvahs that's ever been done from the time of Adam until the Messiah? How about that? Well, that's pretty heavy, Matt. That's pretty.
Why are you using future though, the Mashiach?
Because what are we saying? We're saying now that we're saying the remembrances make up the essence of Klal Yisrael. What's Klal Yisrael? It's all past, present, and future. We're bringing in the Avos, Yerushalayim, Mashiach, and others. Finally, we ask that a new remembrance be made on Yom Tov and forces set in motion for all the content of Geula. Although many remembrances and considerations referred to, they're all uniting in one total. This is the kick of what I'm trying to say. Our status is being reassessed and revitalized every Rosh Chodesh and every Yom Tov. He's looking at you again as a nation and taking into account, what are the others doing that made you? What's Mashiach coming to redeem you for? How will that happen, in good or bad? Where does Jerusalem sit in the concept of, remember we talked about what the concept of Yerushalayim is, the cleanliness, the beauty of the city, what it's meant to be for. It's like a sign, it's like a central city on earth. How are you fit in with the concept of Jerusalem? Where are you in the people of the Jews? What's your status? We're re-examining you like a general going up, doing an inspection. Where are you holding? That's why we're saying Ya'ale v'yavo and not Ya'alu v'yavu. We're saying individually because we're all being individually assessed on all of these points. He's literally taking, when the general goes by, he doesn't just look at the entire battalion and go, it looks as if they're standing in a square. Very good. He's going to walk by everyone and go, shoes, staff, whistle, buttons, do up your buttons. Stand straight. What do you think they're saying? The wall does not need you to hold that up. Stand straight. Hat, put it straight. And he's doing that. He's everyone's like, it's an individual thing. That's why it's Yalev Yavor. Every single thing is coming individually with your korban. V'yipakeid v'zocher versus zichroneinu figdoneinu as opposed to bigdoneinu v'zichroneinu. What's going on there? Those who've already been considered and brought must once again be remembered forever. That's why the order's reversed, because we consider and bring out the effect of our remembrances. We're getting reassessed. Ya'aleh v'yavor is a mini reassessment. Consider us and remember us for all the remembrances which are being reconsidered. What do you got to think about? So far, what have we got? Rosh Chodesh comes along, Yom Tov comes along, and you're expected to add Ya'aleh v'yavor. Let's just start this very carefully. When I hit the grey box, these are my kavanas. I should be giving an additional korban musaf on this day, but I can't. And if it's Yom Tov, I should be in Jerusalem in the temple precinct offering whatever I can at this particular time as a deraisa obligation, but I can't. In lieu of that, may my prayer fulfill every function of that particular additional korban by ascending all the levels of Shemayim and opening up the doors of Shefa of flow to come down in the best possible way. Two, I also realised that during this particular arrival in Jerusalem, which I should be making, that I'm going to come under some kind of scrutiny because I'm coming home. Listen to me, just think about it. Imagine your great-grandfather lives in Jerusalem and he hasn't seen you in many years, and you turn up to visit him and he knows you're living in Manchester, or he knows you're living in London, or he knows you're living in New York or Melbourne. What's the first thing he's going to want to do when he sees you? What's he going to look for? Are you still from? He's living in Yerushalayim. Yaakov Avinu did exactly the same thing when he told Yosef was alive. He didn't believe it. That doesn't mean he thought he wasn't physically alive. If he's a viceroy of like Amsterdam, you trying to tell me he's a from a Yid? They're like, yeah, no, he's really from. He's really from. Yeah, I don't, with respect, there's a lot of things going on in Amsterdam which aren't so from. I mean, they just are. I don't think my son, who's now, you're saying, the king, basically the viceroy of Amsterdam, would see to that. He goes, no, he's really from. Let me go see. The first thing he did is he walked in and he wanted to see him. When he saw Yosef was still from, in that environment, he said, Shema. Because he realised it's unbelievable. What's the chances of that? How's that work? But when you turn up for inspection with a relative you haven't seen for a while who's living in Jerusalem and he knows you're a Ben Chutz La'aretz, the first thing they're going to have a look at is, how assimilated is this guy? It's true, right? Wouldn't you? Wouldn't you? Haven't seen a guy in 13, 14 years or whatever? Turns up, he lives in, I don't know, LA. What kind of guy would you think? I went to speak in LA for NCSY. I was davening in the shul before I went to go speak there. And a guy turned up near Venice Beach. He turned up for shul in a pair of surf jams, flip-flops, which I think in Australia they call thongs or something like that, just literally like just a little piece of, and like an open shirt, literally like he's just come off of the beach. And he walked in and he davened, he's mammish went for it, in shorts. So I like the thing. He davened mammish really, and he's very laid back bloke. Now imagine him getting on a plane and visiting my family in Yerushalayim, who are Hasidim Rav Vosner. Okay, and he walks in and goes, where are you from? I'm from LA. What are they going to think about that bloke? Now you are going to make a judgment. You're going to go, cover your legs when you're daven. You go, no, but this guy's from LA. This is LA from, man. This is from. Yeah, but this is Yerushalayim. When you're mentioning your Zichroneinu, Figdoneinu, you're going to be looked at, remembered and considered. What's going on? You're turning back to headquarters. You're back at head office there. You're giving a korban at the base of Mikdash. We're looking at you. You're back in head office. What are you holding? This ain't LA now. In light of this, let's redefine the words. Now we're going to go back and redefine them. Not as levels of heaven, but of midas. Are you ready to go back? Even the Sephardim in the room. We don't even have these words. It doesn't mention bananas anywhere. Okay. Ya'aleh. It may go up. What does that mean now? Now that we understand this, let's listen to this. May the remembrances of our deeds and the attributes that form our status arise, be uplifted and reassessed with additional power. V'yavo, may they come to a new level. May you see us and think of us in a new way. V'yagia, this means may it be fitting or compensated. May our new levels reach us. May they be fitting for us. May you look at us and go, yeah, very good. The buttons are all shiny. The shoes are all shined. Your hats are straight. I'm very impressed. V'yeroeh. May we be seen. What does be seen? Be thought of. How do you see something? In what light do you see it? How do I see my cousin? Doesn't mean I physically see him. How are you going to think of him? May we be seen. V'yeroeh. May we be seen in a new light. V'yerotzeh. To achieve more on behalf of Hashem. V'yishama, and be accepted. V'yipokeid, to consider our remembrances. V'yizacher, and forever remember that those effects that have already been brought into consideration, may we keep that and go anew with Rosh Chodesh or Yom Tov into a new dawn of our experience. Why do we mention the Avos? Why mention the Avos? The Tana Dove Eliyahu, chapter 25, says every single Jew has within them the potential of the Avos. Because every Jew, says the Tana Dove Eliyahu, says, is required to say, when will my deeds reach and emulate the deeds of Avraham, Yitzhak and Yaakov? How can you possibly say that? What's going on there? In you is the genetic background of the greatest people who have lived. When you're saying V'zichoron Avoseinu, what do you mean Av? Is that that's a genetic connection, hello. Remember where we come from. Remember the potential we have. Remember what we can achieve. Remember we said in the second brach of V'nei Manatala HaChiyos Meisim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu believes in you that you have the power to earn your own resurrection. Remember we said that? What a beautiful idea. Remember that? He believes in you. You've got the power to achieve where you've come from. You can live up to these people. These people have built you up. The Avos created a spiritual potential that is passed down Medoridor from generation to generation. That's the past, right? What's the next word we talk about? Yerushalayim. That's a present connection to Kedusha. And Mashiach ben David is a future final connection. What do we say? V'zichron avoseinu, remember our past. V'zichron, Mashiach ben David adechem, v'zichron Yerushalayim, remember our future and our present. Remember what we're going to, remember what we've got. The remembrance of these potentials is aroused on these special occasions. So because of that, it's only right to say Ya'alevi Avor. Here's the final kicker. Here's where it ends. You've got to get this. Why is the tefillah composed in this weird way? How do you write tefillahs? People who write tefillahs, Chazal that wrote tefillahs, have got rules. They know what they're doing. How do you finish off this tefillah? Zochreinu Hashem Elokeinu Bolitova Fdeinu Volivrocha Vashenu Volachayim Uvidva Yishrachamim. And in the matter of redemption and mercy, Chus V'chaneinu V'rachem Aleinu V'oshenu, please pity us, have mercy and grace upon us, mercifully save us, Ki Alechaneinu, because our eyes are turned towards you, Ki Kel Melechon V'rachamato, because you're so merciful. What? Do you remember how you walked into the royal palace throwing down all these heavy duty credentials and they start begging like a pauper? That's exactly how you do it. Imagine you were going to see the Queen in Buckingham Palace. You get to the door and there's a policeman with a machine gun strapped to his tummy. How do you think you're going to get in? Pauper, nothing. I've got to ask the Queen, please. He's going to get away with you. If you turn up and say, do you know, I'm the dignitary, I'm an ambassador from heaven. You let me through, do you know who I am? Do you know who I am? So he lets you in. Then you see those guys in the busbies, those guards, you know, with the big furry hats, and they've got like, the you know, their little houses, and they stand there like not moving. They go, oh, make way for the Queen's guards, you know, why are you doing it? Do you know who I am? I'm the progenitor of Messiah. I'm the offspring of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. Oh, you can go through, of course. Sorry to let you go. You go through, you know, Lord, you know, like some kind of very, very... When you finally get into the throne room, you throw yourself down and go, please help me. Look at the system. In order for you to punch through the seven levels of heaven, you start throwing down some heavy-duty fuel to your rocket ship, don't you? You know who we are. I'm the outcome of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Oh, we've got, I'm part of the Messiah. I'm part of Jerusalem. I'm part of the entire merit of the entire global concept of Israel. I'm an Israelite. And you should remember me in goodness and joy and love and hurt and all this business. Then once you get in, you lay it down as it is. Please save me. Once you've got a throne room audience with Hashem, suddenly you start begging for clemency. Why? Of course you would. Now you're in. Now you throw down your message. I'm in. I've got it. I'm right there. I'm in front of the king. I'm right there. Please. You're not going to stand and impress him with who you are. He gave you who you are. Do you know who I am? You get in front of the king. I am a descendant of Abraham. Yeah, and who made them? You. I'm from Jerusalem. Well, who made Jerusalem? You. You've got nothing to barter with him on greatness. So while you're there, you lay it down and say, please save us for life. Whatever this inspection is going to come out, it may not come out totally perfect, right? It may come out a bit wanting and lacking in certain areas. Chus v'chanenu v'rachem aleinu v'oshienu. Have mercy upon us and pity us and save us, please. Yes, maybe we're a bit ragtag. Maybe this battalion is a little bit disheveled. Maybe our guns aren't brightly polished and our shoes are a bit undone. I get it, but please save us. That's why it's written the way it's written. Strong stuff in the beginning. Get through to where you're going. Soft stuff at the end. That's a design you'll see across many tefillahs. Many tefillahs lay down pasukim and strong credentials to start with and then end with a very, very contrite tefillah. Why? First of all, you've got to get there and you need credentials. But once you're there, then you can lay it down as it is. If some guy knocked on your door and said he's like a huge emissary from a massive yeshiva, you're far more likely to bring him in and give him a larger donation than you are some guy who says he's just, you know, he cleans, you know, the dinner lady's room at some school. You know, because he's not... The truth is, once the guy comes in who's saying he's from a massive yeshiva, he's going to ask for the same thing. He's going to ask for assistance, right? The thing is, laid down very high-duty credentials. Do you understand the difference? It makes a sense, right? That's the concept of Yalla V'Yavol. That's the concept of what we're getting out of this. It's a huge, huge concept. No wonder it fits in what to say about the avoider. This fulfills what the avoider should be. Then we go into Moedim, and Be'ez Hashem, next time we'll do Ananissim, Moedim the Rabbanon, and then complete this whole section, and then go to Sim Shalom, or Establishment of Peace. I look forward to seeing you then, and I hope your tefillahs are inspired.
Yeah.